Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I'm here this early morning with my husband, Jared.
Hey.
So it's dark and rainy outside, and I kind of like the sound of the rain, though.
It's been raining majorly for, like, days.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's great for the garden. You know, we haven't had to water a single time.
Great for the garden, not great for the driveway.
Yeah. We have a hill in our driveway, so it gets kind of ravined out.
It's like the field up north or southwest of us that all comes down into our valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like our culvert isn't big enough. So it ends up being at the point of our driveway, mm-hmm. overflowing the driveway, pulling the gravel, and then I end up going out there and having to rake and shovel, but that's okay.
Yeah. We live up on a hill, though, so it doesn't flood up here, which is nice. Like, flood. But no.
And especially the Reed Station Hill.
I mean, yeah, that's
no
what I
way
mean.
We would ever flood up here. Yeah. It'd be impossible.
Anyway, yeah, it's raining outside, and we're like, we need to podcast. And we're up really early this morning. So here we are, and we're going to be talking today about a question that one of you wrote in and asked.
Listener-generated episode.
Yeah, which I love. I love it when you guys ask questions
because
it gets my wheels turning and helps me think about things that might be helpful to talk about. So someone wrote in and asked if we would help think through the question of what is a homemaker, because we talk a lot about the roles of a homemaker and why it's a blessing to your family and what it looks like. But, like, what constitutes a homemaker? Who is and who isn't? Who's disqualified from being a homemaker? And I think we're kind of living in a pendulum swing time of, like, extremes a little bit. So,
well,
like,
the whole trad wife movement what you don't want to do is just jump on a bandwagon. You want to be biblical, not like, just be a trad wife.
Yeah.
You want to be biblical.
I mean, you're only a homemaker if you're a trad wife that makes her own bread and only wears dresses and doesn't wash her cast iron skillet with soap.
And I think the contrast would be is that the Bible says you are a homemaker. You're either a good one or a bad one. You're either in obedience or disobedience. So
that's
a better way to think through it.
We're going to try to talk a little bit about this today, just talk about what is a homemaker, talk about the freedoms that God does give us as homemakers, and then some of the limits or boundaries that we have as well in this God-given calling. So, you want to pray?
Well, yeah.
And then we'll jump into what we've been preparing.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning with Jordan. Give us clarity. I thank you that you have given us some direction and given women direction on what you've called them to do. You've given men direction on what you've called them to do. And you've also restricted both the man and the woman from certain things as well. So we thank you for the freedom that comes from walking in obedience to your commands. And God, we thank you for your grace that's upon us right now, and we thank you for just the freedom we have in Christ. And so the ladies that are listening in, I pray they would receive this as a good word. I pray they would receive it from your word as helpful and encouraging, and that they would obey and they wouldn't feel weird about it or anything like that. So help us to walk that line. Anytime we're talking about things like this, it can be odd for some. And so we pray it would be an encouragement and helpful. And God, I thank you for all the work in the podcast that's really been highlighting for the last few years, even in the first couple of years with Lexi, and as Jordan and her talked about so many different things, there's just a wealth of resources already there in the show about homemaking. And so we just thank you for that. And just the opportunity we have, help us and help me as I listen in and make a few comments to be helpful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So you always say a lot, whenever God gives us restrictions or anything like that, we should be like, okay, awesome, thanks God.
Yeah.
And not war against them or try to like weasel around them or yeah, but them. And so I think with homemaking, whenever we hear commands from God in scripture about being busy at home, about being managers of the home or keeping
home. Which would be a commission from God.
Here, yeah.
Do this.
Yeah. Whenever we have those commissions, we should be like, awesome, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we hear warnings like we should be building up our house and not tearing it down with our own hands, that we should take those warnings seriously and we should take them and run with them rather than be like, well, how far can I push it? How far can I not do that and still be a homemaker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so much more joy and freedom for the Christian when we wholeheartedly obey God rather than trying to a little bit obey God
mm-hmm.
and hold on to our quote-unquote freedom that's actually bondage to our sin.
Yeah.
But there's so much more joy and freedom for us whenever we just lay aside that fleshly desire of our own thoughts or our own wisdom on things mm-hmm. and just follow God in commands. With homemaking is a calling from God to all Christian women. We see this in Titus 2, 3 through 5, where God tells us to be busy at home. And then we also see it in, was it Titus or Timothy?
Or 1 Timothy chapter 5 with the widows.
Yeah.
They're called to manage their home.
Yeah, he tells them, get married, have children, manage your homes. And then like the proverb that I just referenced as well, there's references all throughout scripture where women are called to be working at home, be busy at home, be managers at home. There's stuff for you to do at home. Don't have feet that are always elsewhere. There's a scripture, a warning also about that, about having feet that are never at home. We see these callings about being at home. And that doesn't mean that you have to be like inside your four walls mm-hmm. 24 hours a day. But the implication is there's a lot of duties to happen at home mm-hmm. and we shouldn't be neglecting them.
Yeah. Well, it may be good to say on the front end, because there are some that are going to be thinking about work outside of the home, work inside of the home, and where we're going to land at the end of this episode. I think we can say some things up front that may be helpful, is that the homemaking is always the priority for every woman, even the single woman. The home is always the priority over work outside of the home. And I think the responsibility for ladies is to receive this and not first think and be thinking always, okay, but can I work outside of the home? Can I work outside of the home? Can I work outside of the home? The first question is, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, you can, but the priority that God has given is the home. And if the home is neglected, your heart shouldn't be attached to work outside of the home more than it is engaged at the clear calling that God has laid in your lap and said, here, this is good work for you to do. So there is a contrast, and there is a glorious level of authority even. The 1 Timothy 5 passage you were just looking at talks about the authority of managerial duties in home for a woman. That is different than the authority that God has given, for instance, a spiritual authority, 1 Timothy 3. For instance, the elder, he must be able to manage his own household well. If he can't keep his children submissive, if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? There's that sort of managerial responsibilities that the husband has, that the elder has, that the head of household has. But then what we're talking about here is not even like provision for the household, but it's taking what's been provided from the man and then doing something with it in the home and diligently caring for that house, beautifying it, making your priority and vocation in the home. There's so much good work to do. So I think just differentiating that in the beginning, putting all of your best efforts and the best of yourself should always be given in here, in the home.
Yeah. I think that is the big question. Like, can the homemaker make money? Can she have a job outside the home? How many hours outside the home and how many hours inside the home, and what is the line? And I think, and
can you know those lines? I mean, it's going to be different for each job, for each household, mm-hmm. for each competency and skill level, and of the women. Some women are very high capacity women. Some women aren't as high capacity. That's not a bad thing. God has given different talents to different people, mm-hmm. both men and women. So I mean, those questions, a lot of those, is there's some malleable answers here. Yeah. I mean, there's some principles that are universal.
Different needs for every family too, right, that take up a different amount of time. So the answer is, can a woman work outside the home? Can she bring in money? Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, the answer is sometimes. But most of the time, the value that you're bringing to your home is far greater than a paycheck. Most of the time, in the course of a Christian woman's life, she's going to be bringing something to the family that is time that you're giving to children. It's an education that you're going to be giving to them, or maybe a season of being a caregiver. But there's a lot of different roles. Everyone's seen the image of, like, if you broke down all of the jobs that a woman has in the home, you know, everyone's seen this. Like, if you could, you know, pay yourself for all the things that you're doing or something.
It's like a $100,000 a year job.
Right. But the value, the eternal value even, of what you're doing is so much greater than getting paid by someone, you know, however much a week. But when it comes down to it, you really just have to search your heart of, like, if I am working outside the home, am I doing this for the good of my husband and children? And not lying to yourself about that, but like, is this actually the best good for them, or would be my time at home be the best good for them? And also being really cautious at the beginning of your family setup to not rely on a second paycheck. So like, before you even have children, not getting that job that you're now dependent on, to where when we do have kids, I have to work because we have a house payment that my income is required for to pay, or a car payment that I have to pay with my income. So just being cautious to not ever rely, if you are making money as a homemaker, not ever to rely on that money so that you're enslaved and entrapped to working outside the home. And then it's like, it makes it a whole lot harder to have those priorities.
I mean, how many young couples get a house and then they get a house based on dual income, and then they start having children and think, oh man, what are we going to do? And some people do make the tough decision to downsize, to sell what they can, but many people are, you know, they do end up feeling trapped, and they don't know what to do.
And I know, I don't want to like downplay that difficulty, because I know that there are a lot of women who genuinely would love to be home, and there's like a season that they can't, that they have to be working outside the home. And that's like a legit concern for families. And maybe the wife really does want to be home, but they can't. And I would just advise people, like, pray and seek the Lord and know that He provides, and to make hard decisions with homes and vehicles and things and possessions, and see the eternal value in the vocation of being a homemaker over all that stuff. That we only have one life here to live. We only have one chance with our children. We have only one time in our 20s, one time in our 30s, one time being an empty nester. Like, whatever stage of life you're in, you get one shot at it. And to not overlook the value of what you can give to your family and your home right now. Even if it means selling stuff.
One of the things that Mason of Mason and Bree say is that, you know, for the man also, the man's priority is the home in a different way. That if a man is not viewing his home and giving the best of himself to his household, we would all give a corrective word. And I think that's the thing we would hopefully want to encourage ladies with, is give the very best of yourself to your home. Give the best of yourself to your home, to your household. And don't give the best of yourself away to other people. I mean, do the best you can wherever you go. But that priority of the home is always there. And there's some glory there.
So with this vocation or trade of being a homemaker, I think it's so cool to think of it, though. It's like a trade. That this is what women's trade has been throughout the generations.
And that's what Titus 2 is talking about, working at home, being busy at home. It's seen as a trade.
But the Proverbs 31 woman, let's talk a little bit about that. And then I think we have in previous episodes. But yeah, of course, like, she was doing a lot of things outside the home, but you have a great way of breaking this down, so I'm going to let you
absolutely.
Do it.
She first sees that her product that she's making for her family is valuable, and then she waits until her family is taken care of, and she doesn't immediately, when she sees the market for her business, or to be able to start a business, she doesn't immediately do that. She sits on it, she waits for the right timing, and then later, after her family is taken care of, then she goes and she brings it to market. And in fact, it's so valuable that it's taken away on ships. What she's doing doesn't just have a local market value. It actually has a market value beyond, it's even being exported out from that local region. So she's doing really good work, and it's all flowing from what she was doing at home. As she was busy at home, she recognized, wow, I've got a skill at this, and this can be useful. And then, oh, hey, pup.
Hey, buddy.
Come on over here and sit with us, dude.
It's not six yet.
It's not six. It's only 5:21.
You can sit with us for a minute, though. We're doing a podcast, so just be quiet, okay?
Okay, guys. Valor's joining us, and he's now laying down right beside us.
But anyways, the Proverbs 31 woman never worked at a detriment to her family.
Yeah.
Like, what she was doing was building up her household. And she was providing for her household these garments, these all the things in Proverbs 31 that it talks about that she was doing. And in the overflow of that, she was making money from it.
Well, that's why it's such a good principle with differing applications, is because you see the household priority and you see the right timing, and then you can take that and then apply it to different people's lives and then ask the question, what's your household situation and what's the opportunity that's in front of you? And is it causing you to be neglecting your home? Okay, well, then you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Or is this going to be helpful to your household? Is your homemaking still going to be able to be a priority?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, great, go for it.
And I think it's just the reality of being a mother of a lot of children, or like homeschooling your children, or just if you're working really hard at being a homemaker and doing a lot of stuff and like trying to honor God and hospitality and like serving your husband and your children well, then there's not a ton of margins when your kids are small.
Yeah.
And so just being aware of that, that like most of the time work outside the home is just, you're not going to have the margins for it.
Well, just think about stages of life. I mean, when your kids are younger, when your children are younger, there are greater responsibilities, and then mm-hmm. they get more independent the older they get.
Yeah. And I just saw a post from Rebecca Merkel of like her kids are older now, like graduated from high school even, I think, all except one maybe. And now they are taking on some of the things that she has done.
Yeah.
Like now they are, you know, throwing these dinners, mm-hmm. banquets for the staff at New St. Andrews and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like how there is a season when the baton gets more and more passed, where you have children who are more and more helpful that you're mm-hmm. like, oh, we could take this now to the next level where mm-hmm. I'm able to serve more people with this, or mm-hmm. where maybe we're able to make money with this or whatever. But just being content with the season of life that you're in, where if you are in the season where there is not a lot of margins, just knowing like, okay, my first priority is my home, and I don't have the weight of providing for my family is not on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there is a discrepancy in how much money we need and how much money we have, the weight of that is not on the homemaker.
Yeah.
The weight of that is on the husband, by God, put there by God on mm-hmm. him. And of course we are helpers and we want to help, but I'm not supposed to neglect my calling
mm-hmm.
for his calling.
Yeah. Yeah. Primary provision is always from the husband. So this is the husband's call, is to provide. And if he doesn't provide, he is denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. And it's not just a provision for his immediate household, but also those in his family that need help beyond his immediate household, the man has responsibilities toward. And so then in the home, I mean, this is what you're doing all the time. You're cooking, you're cleaning, you're training our children in righteousness. Teaching them formally. Like there's a lot of good work to do. You're making our home beautiful, from decorations to everything. I mean, you're doing really good work in this home. That's a lot of time.
And just the time of correcting people.
Yeah, and the time of correcting people. Picking things up.
It takes a lot of time, and it's good work to be done. And I think it's just cool to think about, too, that there's, like, been Christian women throughout history that have been industrious and saw needs and met them mm-hmm. and worked really hard in their home, and that has overflowed to other things through God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this in my own life as well, just in seasons that I'm like, man, I don't have any margins. There's like no way that I could do this or that. And not even with things like that are going to make me money, but just with wanting to serve and help people, help other people that where I see a need, but feeling like, gosh, I don't know where the margin would be to be able mm-hmm. to do that. And seeing God provide in really miraculous ways where you just have extra of something
mm-hmm.
right when someone else needs it. And so just trusting the Lord in big ways and in small ways as a homemaker of, God, if you want me to be able to bring in a income of some sort,
mm-hmm.
like if you want to provide a way for that to happen, then I trust that you will do it generously and through a way that I have not thought of that will not be a detriment to my home.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want me to serve this family in this way, then you're going to help me to be able to do that in a way that I haven't thought of yet. Even simple things like bringing a meal of like, oh, God, you put it on my heart to make this meal that was way bigger than what my family needed, right? Yeah. When this other family needed a meal mm-hmm. that I can easily bring to them. And it was of no stress to me. It was, it didn't like lay a burden on anyone around here. Like, it was just easy mm-hmm. and God provided it, and trusting that he can do that, and that he does do that. He's done that for me a lot recently, and that's been really cool to see his provision. But yeah, there's women throughout history that work really hard in really creative ways, and God has blessed it and provided.
Women in the past have worked really hard. I mean, homemaking is hard work. What feminism and women have been hearing for a very long time now, what basically every woman that would be listening to this probably grew up in, or at least heard or is aware of, is that cooking, cleaning, and decorating, that is...
Child raising.
That's terrible work that is going to drag you down and make you miserable. And
you're going to be fat and dumb while you do it.
Yeah. And, well, it can be, but going to work in an office is a million times worse than that. I mean, what dude loves going to just work in a cubicle? Most guys hate their work and think about the weekends and what they're doing with their family or the hobbies that they enjoy. They're not out there just loving their work. I think that's the misnomer, is that the homemaker is jealous of the husband who's going to work. And the irony is, the husband's going to a job that most men are working, and they don't necessarily enjoy it. It's not like they get their kicks and giggles from their work. Mm-hmm. They work because they love their family. Yeah. They want to honor the Lord, but it's hard work, no matter what it is.
It's just like a lot of displaced fulfillment.
Yeah, but the work of cooking, cleaning, and decorating, and raising children and education, you get actually see daily mm-hmm. the fruit of your hands in some of that, not all of that. So some of that takes a lot of time, like child rearing, mm-hmm. the fruit of your hands, it takes a while to see that. But then things like meal prep, when you have a family that sits down and eats the meal, mm-hmm. you get to see a family nourished right in front of you from the work of your hands, which is great. Sometimes within pastoral ministry, you know, the contrast is, what do you do today? Well, it's like I did sermon prep and I did a couple podcasts. I can't see it, but it's not the same kind of seeing as making a meal. Mm-hmm. You actually physically see that. Mm-hmm. And it's good work. It's not life-sucking work. It's life-giving work if you see it like that. If you see it as, this is sucking the life out of me, I don't like it, well then you're going to feel like it's sucking the life out of you and you're not going to like it. Mm-hmm. But if you see it as, God's commanded this and it's good work for you, then fight to enjoy it. Don't just accept that you're going to be miserable because everybody in the world tells you you're going to be miserable if you do this. Mm-hmm. Being barefoot in the kitchen, there's glory in that.
Yeah. And not being lazy.
Yeah.
There's warnings literally all throughout Proverbs about being lazy. And I even read a scripture this morning, actually, that was like, don't even associate with a lazy man. Like, don't even be around him. Like, scripture is very serious about not being lazy. And if you are a homemaker that spends way too much time scrolling social media, then you are not going to enjoy your job.
No.
Because you're not doing it well.
Because the command isn't to be at home.
Yeah.
It's to work at home.
Mm-hmm.
The command isn't to be present in a domicile mm-hmm. here on the couch doing, you know, mm-hmm. whatever you want to do. The command is there's good work for this household to run and function as a proper household economy. It requires you to work hard to make this function in the right way.
Yeah.
So if your house is disgusting all the time, there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're not making meals, there's something wrong. If your house and your decorations in your home are always the same for 30 years straight, there's something wrong.
there's some women that are okay with that, though. I don't know if that would be wrong, necessarily.
Okay, so maybe families. Just scratch that last part. I'm not going to edit that, though, because...
Some families are okay with just getting it in place and leaving it. Oh, you're just married to a woman who likes change.
Okay, sorry. There was Jared's legalism for the moment.
Oh, yeah. Again, there's a lot of freedom.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, freedom. Got it.
There's a lot of freedom in being a homemaker.
The point is that we love seasonal decor.
I know, I really do. I've been changing things lately. Maybe that's what is on your mind.
I used to not care. I used to not care.
You used to not notice.
Yeah.
But I think the effort, that's mm-hmm. what is behind what you're saying. Like, if you're not putting effort in.
There we go.
If you're, like, doing the minimal amount of effort in all of your duties at home, like, if you're not really putting any care in the laundry, If you're not putting any care into what you feed your family, if you're not putting any care into the, like, the cleanliness of your home or the enjoyableness of being in your home, or, like, does it feel like a haven to you, or does it feel like, oh my gosh, it's, like, closing in on me?
Well, here's an example, too. We live in a neighborhood, and our neighborhood, it was really nice. People take care of their homes. There's a neighborhood just across the street from us, and there's a couple houses that people don't care for, and they don't care. And it, the outside of it, is it's never weeded, it's mowed like 5 times a summer, it's gross, and you can't help but walk by that house and scratch your head and think, why don't you prioritize the outside of your home? And the same thing would be on the inside. Ladies, if your house looks like that, it's unweeded and it's it's not maintained, not cared for, there's a, it's a reflection upon you. There's something wrong. And again, hear this the right way. You know, you might say, well, that's legal. Whatever. Be a homemaker. You're a homemaker. Yeah. You're either a good or a bad one. Be a good
work as an unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, do the very best that you can. And if you're in a season where the very best you can is the yard gets mowed 5 times a summer, like, if that's your very best right now, like, you're going through something awful and...
Yeah. Hire somebody to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It but, never you know, be like that.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to not make people mad. but, you know, there are circumstances. But I'm just saying, work as an unto the Lord.
Yeah.
The very best that you have, give to the Lord in your service to Him and to your family.
It's also okay to hire help in those seasons.
Yeah.
You can hire help.
Absolutely.
If you need to, and the husband can make enough. If you need to build servant quarters in the back of your house and have some people
sometimes
live in your
you
home
to
help out for
I wonder
seasons.
If you guys just heard that toot of someone on the couch. Someone just tooted on the couch.
That's okay.
But
I'm going to leave that too. It was Valor, by the way. It wasn't one of us.
It wasn't me. yeah, but sometimes being a good manager of the home is seeing that you need someone to come and help you.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'm not able to get all this done in the course of 24 hours. I need some more hands. Mm-hmm. And going to your husband and saying, hey, can we allot some resources towards this? And I'm hopeful that God would provide. I know God will provide. And that you'll be able to do that. But, and if you can't, like, pay for it in that way, then, like, look for a young gal at your church. Be like, hey, can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's talk to your mom. Well, would she drop you off in morning a week and help me out?
Exactly. And see, that's what's so great, too, about the young ladies in your church. It can be a tremendous resource in your those seasons that you have a need. Having one day a week, I mean, we're having Grace come by one day a week, and she's, as you're teaching school, spending time with Providence and hanging out with the children and doing a great job, and she's picking up valuable skills. Can I give a loving charge to the ladies listening in?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just say a man says, I don't feel fulfilled providing for my family. What I would say to that man is, so you're called to provide for your family.
Obey the Lord.
There may be ladies out here that say, I don't feel fulfilled being a homemaker. Yeah. I do feel fulfilled.
I don't know how you do that. I could never stay home with my kids.
Every woman has heard that. And every homemaker has heard that multiple times over. It's kind of like the family with several children. They're asked over and over again, you know where those kids come from?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with a homemaker. I could never do that because I'm not fulfilled doing that. This isn't a question of whether or not you're fulfilled or this is what you want to do or not want to do. Mm-hmm. This is a question of what God has called you to do. And in the same way that you probably like foods now that you didn't like 10 years ago, you can like work now or in the future that you didn't like years ago. And if God has called you to do this, and He has, then trust that He's going to give you a heart for it. Put your hands to the plow and do the work. It doesn't matter if you feel fulfilled or not. Toughen up. Do what God's called you to do.
And there are a million different tunes that you can play to this same song. There's a million different ways that this can get worked out in a million different families. Like, there really is so much freedom in what it looks like to be a homemaker. If you like more artistic stuff, like, make your home artistic. Teach your children artistic things. Do artistic things in your home. Learn to do cool stuff. There's a million different things you can do. Or if you are not like that, then do other things. Like, you are the manager of your home. Do the very best that you can with the skills that God has given you. Learn new skills and do a great job and enjoy your life. Like, this is the life that God has given you. Do your very best to honor Him and obey Him in it, and trust the Lord. Before we finish this up, I wanted to say a couple things that I remembered. there's a million resources for being a homemaker now. Like, we're living in an age where there is a cool movement of women rising up who want to take this seriously and want to do a really good job. So, like, if you're feeling not good at this, or you don't know where to start, or overwhelmed by it all, first of all, on the Fruitful and Fearless website, just to plug that, I was going to plug something else first, and I was like, wait a minute. On the Fruitful and Fearless website, there's some awesome stuff on the Keeping homepage. Becky McNeely manages that and is phenomenal. Like, there's great resources. She puts out a planner. There's a bunch of free downloads for, like, everything homemaking, everything involved in homemaking. So get on the Fruitful and Fearless website, look at all those free resources, and join the Keeping homepage if you want to just get some more information. Also, there's just a great community on the Fruitful and Fearless website. So if you are a member, feel free to be active on there and ask questions, post things, send me a message. I check that periodically. So, and if I don't get back to you quick enough, message me on Instagram. I usually will get an alert for that one. But I would love to have an app for the Fruitful and Fearless website one day so we can get easier notifications, but check that stuff out. But also, Misty Winkler is a great resource. She has a homeschooling book that's really fantastic that I love. She also has YouTube videos and seminars and a newsletter that I'm just trying to say there's a lot of ways to get better at this if you put your hand to the plow and really take it seriously. So if you need help, there are ways to get help, or even just talk to women in your church. Ask if they can tighten two things up and teach you some things that you don't know. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and feel free to send us in your questions. Also, okay, so we're reading LeBry by Edith Schaefer right now. LeBry? LeBry. LeBry. However you say that. JC always tells me the correct pronunciation, I think always LeBry. Say
LeBry. I heard from Nancy LeBry. Percy that LeBry. LeBry.
Okay, LeBry by Edith Schaefer. It's a beautiful book, just about their life and how things got started. I had no idea that they were in St. Louis before. But anyway, which is close to us, which is cool. But that is what is going on for the Fruitful and Fearless Book Club right now, if you want to hop on and join that. And then also, starting next month, we are reading Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and I'm very excited for the fall and reading Frankenstein. So get excited. Order a copy of that if you want to be involved in the Fruitful and Fearless Book Club. That's also accessible through the community page on the website. So, anyways, thanks for listening, and ask us more questions. This is fun.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.